It's time now for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Today, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by two panelists, educator Lori Fisher and technical editor Kira Pace. Now, here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Joanne, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. It looks like a lovely morning. I was peering beyond the drapes over the moat, and I saw some sun shining, so it should be a beautiful day. So we do hope you will join us over the course of the hour, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, that's what we are looking for. Your participation, very, very important to us. So please give us a call at either of two numbers. The first is 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, yes, we do have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. You can also email us if you choose to do that. We prefer to talk to you because we enjoy that, but you can also email us. And that email address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one, mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. You can certainly listen to us in live stream at kalw.org. And of course, the podcast should be up in a reasonable amount of time after our program today. And that will also be at kalw.org. And there'll be many other places as well, but start with KALW. That would be great. Okay, just one more reminder of the phones. 415-841-4134. Or toll free, 866-798-8255. And this really is a good time to call. So please give us a call as soon as you can. If you have a question of your own, you'll be hearing some of our questions momentarily. And we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. Kira Pace reminds you that the American Red Cross and Pasadena Humane are both taking donations to help provide emergency services to people and animals affected by the ongoing LA fires. I looked over your, I ignored your spelling errors. So there.
I appreciate that. Lori Fisher is thinking about the devastation and victims of the horrific LA fires. And after the show, we'll be making a donation to the Red Cross in Los Angeles, hoping our listeners who are able can do the same.
I will. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, is a man of the people who don't care how manly you are.
That's right. All right. That is us. And we begin the questioning with Kira Pace.
All right. I'm actually going to save my longer question till later. So Here's what I have right now. What are the 10 countries with the most islands, inhabited and uninhabited? So, and if you want to show off by telling me that country's biggest island, you can go ahead and do that. But I have eight. So what are the eight countries with the most islands?
And this is your short question.
I was wondering about that too.
I'm going to start with Indonesia. No?
That is correct. Indonesia is actually number eight. Do you happen to know Indonesia's biggest island?
I don't, but how many islands does it have?
It has 17,508 islands, roughly 6,000 of which are inhabited. Its biggest island is New Guinea.
And it's eighth on the list with 17,000.
Eighth on the list.
All right, Dana, you got the rest.
I don't know about the rest. Canada, I think, has quite a few islands.
Canada is also on the list at number five, with 52,455 islands, 260 of which are inhabited. And do you happen to know its biggest island?
Is it Newfoundland or St. Edward?
It is Baffin Island.
Baffin Island. All right.
Baffin Island. So both on the list, Canada and Indonesia.
And since the Philippines is made up of nothing but islands, I would all guess the Philippines too.
Not on the list.
Nope. Okay.
It probably doesn't have enough. Is that it?
I give myself a bell for no reason.
You can give yourself a bell for Canada, and that can also be Lori's bell for Indonesia.
All right, there we go.
But all, yeah, so Philippines would be on there. It just doesn't have enough islands. Is that probably it?
It's on a list of places with islands, sure.
Yeah.
But yes, it is not on the list of the eight countries with the most islands.
Well, all right. By Canada, I would imagine that you have non-island nations there. So let me think for a minute. Is there anything in Europe where you're not going to say?
There are eight countries in the world with the most.
All right.
I have a question out of ignorance. This is for Dana, team thing.
Yeah.
Would the United States be even close with all the different things we call islands?
That's an interesting point. And of course, Alaska has a lot of small islands.
Yeah.
So
I'll play my ignorance. I'm going to say the United States.
Does the team Lorna, that's my portmanteau for you too. So Lorna is going with the guess of USA, which happens to be seventh on the list. Do you want to guess our biggest island?
Ooh.
While you think about that, 18,000. It is Hawaii. Yes, Hawaii, the big island, Hawaii is our biggest island. And the USA has 18,617 islands, roughly 10,000 of which are inhabited.
Joanne is guessing Scotland.
So we'll throw that in with the UK as a whole, but not on the list in the top eight.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to make one more guess, and although I'm going to split it into two, I'm wondering if either Norway or Sweden is on the list.
You can guess one. Which one do you want?
Well, I think I'll say Sweden, actually.
Sweden is number one on the list with 267,570 islands, 984 of which are inhabited. Do you want to guess their biggest island?
No.
It's Gotland. Gotland.
Oh, all right. Okay, that's it for me, I think.
All right.
We got four of them, right?
Four left. So eight countries with the most islands, and that's inhabited and uninhabited islands. Those islands can be in the ocean. They can be in, you know, territories. They can be in the middle of lakes. Just how many are the countries with the most islands? And we have four of them: Sweden, Canada, USA, and Indonesia. Sweden is our number one with 267,570. Indonesia is number eight with 17,508. So you're looking for four more countries in between those two numbers.
Oh, okay. All right. I have just a tiny bit of old business, and it reflects badly on me, as most of these things do. Last week, I was blathering on about the Pan American Highway, and I kept saying 30,000 miles, 30,000 miles, 30,000 miles. And it's not 30,000 miles. It's 30,000 kilometers, 19,000 miles. So sorry about that. One of our astute email representatives picked that up, and so I have to make that correction. So it's the Pan American Highway is 19,000 miles.
I believe you did it on purpose to see if anybody was paying attention, and they did.
Yeah, somebody was. All right, so that is done. And again, Lori, it's your turn.
All right, this is sort of something happened in the news recently that led to this question. It's a two-part question. I'll ask you part one and see how we do. I'm interested in presidential pardons and clemencies. And I'm looking for the president who granted the most in the 21st century, the 20th century, and the 19th. So which president, that's part one of the question, which president in each of those centuries, 21st, 20th, and 19th, granted the most clemencies and pardons added together? Give you one or two guesses each.
Would you say that the amount of time they spent in office has direct bearing on this? So in other words, a two-term president would have granted more than a one-term president.
That is a great question, and I'm looking at the list, and I'm going to say no.
Oh, all right.
I think there's no correlation. I have the number one and two on each list. Yeah, so I'm going to say no.
All right. Kira, do you want to go?
Sure. I'll help you narrow down the 21st century. I'll guess Obama.
Obama is second. So Nobel on that one. And he gave almost, he gave 1927, and somebody in the century gave more.
So, for instance, Jimmy Carter pardoned a tremendous amount of draft resistors, you know, after our people had gone to Canada when he was president. Are all those being taken individually then?
As far as I can tell from the notes on the site I looked at, yes, and Carter still doesn't make the list of the 20th century.
Oh, okay. About the 21st. I know that Truman granted many, many, many pardons after World War II. So I will say Truman for the 20th century.
Also second place, so Nobel.
Second place, okay.
And then we have second place in the 21st and 20th. Truman granted 2,044, and somebody granted more.
All right, so we don't have any century then.
Looking for number one and at least a guess in the 19th century. Oh, good.
All right. Yeah, I had to think about that then.
Okay. I think it's since I have a second part with individuals who are pardoned, but I think I'll leave that to the second after we start getting some of these. So I'm looking for the president in the 21st, 20th, and 19th century who granted the most pardons and clemencies added together. Obama and Truman came in second place in both cases. And that'll help you narrow it down, especially in the 21st. You don't have all that many presidents to guess.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, very good.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Bernal Heights.
Hi, Peter. You sound so surprised.
Well, your phone system has changed, so you used to get a beep before you came on. So
no
now
beeps.
You don't. No beeps.
All right.
So I have some guesses. For countries with islands, what about Denmark?
Not Denmark, not on the list.
No? Okay. And for 19th century pardons, what about Grant?
Grant? Ha! Also in second place with 1,300. Oh. So we're very good at getting to second places. And in every case, the person in first has way more. At least double in every case for number one. Grant is second. Good
wow.
Work. But no bell. No beep.
Oh, well. I do have a question.
Right.
Which of the world's rivers passes through or borders the most countries?
How about the Danube?
Yeah.
You got it in one.
Nice.
18 countries.
Whoa.
Very good.
And eight capitals or something like that.
Is that right?
A lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Hence the Danube cruises. Very popular.
That's it for me.
Oh, that it? Okay.
Yep. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate
it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We welcome your calls, by the way. We would love to hear from you. Those numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Please feel free to call us if you have a question of your own or you'd like to answer one of ours, such as the ones I'll be asking you momentarily here. All right. What is the, according to the IMDb, let's get that wrong. What is the most filmed location in the world? When I say location, I mean it's not in a studio. They have to go someplace in order to film it. So what is the most filmed location in the world?
Is this more of a city or a place within a city?
It's a place within a city.
How about Central Park?
That is correct.
Oh, nice.
I'm nailing it tonight.
You are.
Today, this morning, whatever time it is. I don't know.
All right.
You stayed up all night for this, I bet, studying.
I crammed.
Okay. Let me give you a harder question.
That was hard.
That was hard.
I
on the list of the 10 busiest shipping ports in the world, only one is not in Asia. Only one of the 10 busiest shipping ports in the world is not in Asia. What is it?
Kara, this is a night of geography. Go 3 for 3. All right.
I mean, as far as like cargo goes, I know. I can't think of any. I keep thinking of airport cargo, and
no, this
it's
is
not right, and it's not on the water. So,
right.
Shipping ports. I wish I. What about Oakland? Oakland's huge.
Yeah, but not huge enough.
Okay.
Not in the top 10. Okay. Oakland is Oakland the busiest shipping port in the United States now? I don't think so.
If you know the busiest in the U.S., yeah. I'd guess that.
Oakland is not the busiest in the United States.
Yeah, and I bet it's not in the U.S.
On the West Coast, I think Long Beach is even bigger. Mm-hmm. So anyway, just to give that question again. On the list of the 10 busiest shipping ports in the world, only one, and that's number 10, is not in Asia.
Kara, what would the biggest shipping port in Africa be?
I have no idea.
Could it be Cairo in anticipation of Eid? I'll say Cairo in honor of Eid.
No.
Okay.
All right. Okay, leave that out. So my list question here is, there are only five on this list. I'm going to give you a monarch. I'm going to tell you the country, that monarch. And I want you to tell me the person that followed them. All right? I want you to know the next person, the person that followed them in the monarchy. So I'm going to give you five monarchs. You tell me the next person who followed them in that monarchy. Number one is William IV of England. Number two is Alfonso XIII of Spain. Number three is Alexander III of Russia. Number four is Napoleon Bonaparte, the original one. And number five is Dom Pedro of Brazil. So again, I'm giving you a list of monarchs, and I want you to tell me the person that inherited that monarchy from these people. Who is the next in line? Number one is William IV of England. Number two is Alfonso XIII of Spain. Number three is Alexander III of Russia. Number four is Napoleon Bonaparte, the original Napoleon Bonaparte. And number five is Dom Pedro of Brazil. I'll give you each one guess.
Wow.
The fact that I don't even know who succeeded Napoleon is probably indicative of how I'm going to be doing on this.
I thought I would know that, but I don't.
So I'm gonna use my guess to actually, for my studio audience, ask if Andrew Johnson, who pardoned the Confederates, was the 19th century.
That's a good point.
And that is, it's Andrew Jackson, right? Who did the pardoning?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I'm going to give him credit. Yeah, okay. I have down Andrew Jackson pardoned 7,654 people during the Confederacy. So second was Grant. So your studio audience gets that.
And okay. In the studio audience, CJ Andrew Johnson and I.
Okay, well then, yeah, okay.
But I'm going to give it to him anyway because he had the right Confederacy thing, and I think that's the right guy. I'm going to double check before I get off the show.
Okay. I think Andrew Jackson was before the Civil War.
Yes.
I think so, too.
Andrew Johnson makes more sense for pardoning Confederates.
So we'll give your studio audience a half a bell. He had the right idea, but the wrong purse. Okay.
And I think he is the right person because I think the person you just named is before the Civil War.
Oh, I see. Yes. Okay. I'm going to double. Okay. Very good.
All right. Enough of this obfuscation.
Yes.
Let's get back to.
I don't know. Napoleon II is my guess for after Napoleon.
Nope. Not Napoleon.
Okay. I wish I knew at least when Alexander III was in Russia so I could make a guess there, but I don't even know.
Okay.
So I'm not going to guess Alfonso XIV. That's too obvious. So I'm going to, I think I'm wrong here, but how about for the first one, William IV? Is it Henry II?
It is not.
Okay.
No.
I don't know.
You're only off by about 300 years.
Okay.
So again, couple questions. Of the 10 busiest shipping ports in the world, only one, and that's number 10 on the list, is not in Asia. So where is that shipping port? The only one not in Asia. And I give you a list of, I'm asking you who comes next historically after these monarchs, who is the next monarch in line? Number one is William IV of England. Number two is Alfonso XIII of Spain. Number three is Alexander III of Russia. Number four is Napoleon Bonaparte, the original Napoleon I. And number five is Dom Pedro of Brazil.
And I did just check, and your audience was correct. It's Andrew Johnson, who followed Lincoln into the White House. And
there you go.
7,654 people. So my apologies, double bell. Very good.
All right.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, good morning. So let's talk about something in the news. Greenland, which is more cold, which one is green, Greenland or Iceland?
Iceland is greener and Greenland is icier. It was a marketing ploy by
the Viking lies. The Viking lies. Yeah. Okay, very good. Audience should search that. Yeah, Greenland is much ice, and what Trump wants from it, I don't know. Very quickly, second question, who is Klaus Fuchs? Klaus Fuchs.
He was involved in the Rosenberg, the stealing of the, or the accusation of stealing of the bomb plants.
Yes, he was the guilty one. He ran to Russia with it, and he gave it to Russian. Assel and Julius Rosenberg were innocent, and they were executed, you know, wrongly. I was involved in that field. I was not old to be that time, but I was close. They were executed, but definitely Klaus. What happened to Klaus, by the way? Do you know? Do you remember? He was a British citizen, by the way. He was not an Egyptian. He was British. You know what happened to him? Remember Gary Power?
They exchanged him for Gary Powers, I believe, or something like that.
Right? Very good. Well, that is great. Okay, two incidents, very quickly, that affected the climate on the planet, where actually temperature on Earth went down. The plague. Mid-century plague, the temperature, because people population dipped so much that the liver carbon dioxide went low. What is the second one?
Was it Krakatoa?
To some extent, but even one worse than that. It happened in the 12th century. Let me give you a hint. The Mongols.
Okay, so I guess it was the Mongols killing all the people that they killed and lowering the population? Yes.
11% of people on Earth were killed, at least 60 million people, at least 60 million people. And so that is what, according to Lancet and the UNESCO, what is the actual number of people, innocent people, not terrorists, that are killed in Gaza, including women and children? Is it 186? Thousand, or it could be more than 300,000.
This is not the place to.
Let's give you a question about the Mongols. All right. So the Mongols killed 66 million people, and they actually were defeated in Gaza by what country in the Battle of Inzarut and saved the Western civilization?
The Egyptians.
What country defeated the Mongols?
Egypt.
What is the name of the battle? What is the name of the battle?
No, I do not know.
Okay. It is the Battle of Inzarut, which means the Battle of the Spring of Julius. It happened exactly the same spot in Gaza where David beat in Julius. Would you believe that? You know, what goes around comes around. Very short history of the world. Thank you all for the great show. And please, everybody, donate to KLAW. It's one of the best stations we have. It is also the oldest station east of Mississippi. It is also the only one beside KBFA that we can listen to without, you know, closing our eyes. Very good. Have a good day. Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We welcome your calls, by the way. Feel free to do that right now because I think we have some lines open. That's 415-841-4134 with a question or answer. 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Our panel today, that would be Kira Pace, Technical Editor, Lori Fisher, teaches at Diablo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. And let's see, Kira, I believe it's your turn.
Yes. All right.
Is now the time for the long question?
It is.
Excellent.
So I'm going to give you a very short description of a movie considered excellent but bleak. I want you to tell me its title.
Perfect segue, by the way.
Eight bleak movies for you. Bleak movie number one. The drug-induced utopias of four Coney Island people are shattered when their addictions run deep. Bleak movie number two, a bus crash in a small town brings a lawyer to defend the families, but he discovers everything isn't what it seems. Number three, manhunts for a serial child murderer are conducted by both the police and members of organized crime. Number four, a factory worker who suffers from a degenerative eye condition is saving for an operation to prevent her young son from suffering the same fate. Number five, a brave hotel manager risks everything to protect over 1,000 refugees during a brutal genocide. Number six, two star-crossed teenagers find love and solace in each other while battling terminal cancer. Number seven, an Ivy League linguistics professor grapples with her early onset Alzheimer's disease as her three grown children watch helplessly as their mother disappears more and more each day. And number eight, an animated movie about a pair of dogs who escape a laboratory only to be hunted down as results of a rumor that they carry a deadly disease. So these are eight movies that are considered very excellent. People rank them very highly on their own lists of movies that they've seen, but they are also bleak. They are not considered feel-good movies.
This is not your Christmas night doing, I guess. All right.
Post-Christmas.
The one about the bus crash, which is quite a good movie.
So good. I will never watch it a second time, but it's so good.
Is The Sweet Hereafter.
Yes, that is correct.
And I
consider The Sweet Hereafter the best movie I will never see again.
Yeah. And the phone calls with his daughter that's very, very sad. Anyway, the one about the four Coney Island people, I guess you're talking about, I mean, this is my interpretation. Is this Requiem for a Dream?
Yes, that is Requiem for a Dream.
Yes, also an extremely tough film. All right.
And I think I have one and a half. The Brave Hotel Manager. Is that mm-hmm. Hotel Rwanda?
Hotel Rwanda. That is correct. Don Cheadle.
Could you read the one after that? Because I think I have a guess, but it looks like the one about the two teenagers.
Yes, the two star-crossed teenagers find love and solace in each other while battling terminal cancer.
So it was Love Story. Doesn't that describe Love Story?
I don't think they both had cancer. And were they teenagers? Because they were in college.
Yeah.
Wasn't that their deal? Like they were fancy school.
Yeah, they went to Harvard or something. Okay. So both of the kids have cancer.
That is my understanding. I will tell you that this movie is from 2014.
It sounds like a YA novel written by John Green.
It is a YA novel written by John Green. It's funny because it's one of the few I haven't read.
And it's, isn't the title taken from another source?
It is. I'll even spot you a Hamlet.
Yeah. Yeah, that stars. It's something to do with stars, isn't it?
Let's go, Lorna.
She said star-crossed lovers. So.
Yeah, but I know stars in the title someplace.
Yeah, I think it's from a Hamlet monologue. I could be wrong on that, but I think that's right.
So we're not quite there. We're close.
Yeah, you
John
have
Green.
everything but the title. Yeah, you've got the John Green.
Our work here is done.
Yeah.
Audience,
one of the callers will get it, I'm sure.
That's right. They'll help, and then I'll have to throw them into the Lorna portmanteau I've already got going.
And the Ivy League professor one, that's a recent film, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
And is that star either Anthony Hopkins or Julianne Moore? Because they both were in that condition.
It's Julianne Moore.
It is Julianne Moore.
And what's the title, Dana?
It's Still Alice, I believe.
That's Still it? Alice is correct.
Ooh.
All right, you guys know your bleak movies.
A lot of teamwork. All right. Good.
All right. So how many do you have left here?
Well, we have 3.5. So I will just reread the descriptions.
Okay.
And again, these are descriptions of movies considered excellent but bleak, and I just want their titles. The ones I have left are: manhunts for a serial child murderer are conducted by both the police and members of organized crime. A factory worker who suffers from a degenerative eye condition is saving for an operation to prevent her young son from suffering the same fate. Two star-crossed teenagers find love and solace in each other while battling terminal cancer. And an animated movie about a pair of dogs who escape a laboratory only to be hunted down as a result of rumors that they carry a deadly disease.
All right. Fair enough. Let's see. Let me address some emails here. Chris did get Hotel Rwanda in the bleak movies.
Excellent job, Chris.
Janus is saying the Philippines has 8,000 islands, 2,000 that are inhabited. But you're saying that Philippines is not on that list.
No, number 8 on my list is Indonesia, and that's got 17,000. So
okay, fair enough.
Philippines aren't even close.
Chris is also wondering if shipping port is Odessa. It is not Odessa. And Tristan is wondering the busiest shipping port outside Asia is Newark, which is not Newark. However, Rita and Patience both got who followed William IV of England, and that would be Queen Victoria. Ooh. Queen Victoria. William IV was her uncle. He had no legitimate children of his own. And Queen Victoria, yes, was his brother's daughter. So that was his, that was his the person that followed him. All right. Oh, yes. Danny got that too. So credit to all of them. All right. And we are about halfway through. So let's quickly, I don't think Kara has to repeat her question, which she just did, but anything else, we should repeat that. And Kara, your first question.
What are the 8 countries with the most islands, inhabited and uninhabited? We have 4 of them so far: Sweden, Canada, USA, and Indonesia. Looking for the other 4. And as a reminder, number 8 on the list is Indonesia. It's got 17,508 islands. So the other 4 answers will have more.
Oh, and I should point out that I just got an email from Mr. Ted, who says the name of the movie was The Fault in Our Stars. Is that correct?
Mr. Ted is right. So Ted and Lorna, excellent work.
All right.
And I think that is from Hamlet, right? I think so.
Yes. The fault lies not in our stars, but in ourselves.
That's right.
It? All right.
And I'm looking for, to change the subject, presidential pardons and clemencies. I'm looking for the presidents who granted the most. And Kara's studio audience got Andrew Johnson with 7,600. And we're looking for the 21st century and 20th century.
And since
we have the number 2 in each century of Obama and Truman, but both of these were trounced by the people who won.
And since we're in the second half, I'll add that my studio audience says that Biden is the answer to the 21st century because he pardoned all the marijuana possessors.
Biden has over 8,000. The next closest is Obama, who had fewer than 2,000. Biden leads the everybody by far. I was surprised. And Donald Trump has like 200. So.
Did anybody guess Franklin Roosevelt?
No, but that's the other answer. Very good.
Okay.
FDR had 3,687, and that's it. So that runs the board. And so for those paying attention at home, Biden, FDR, and Andrew Johnson led the Presidential Pardons and Clemencies Board. Great.
All right. And I have on the list of the 10 busiest shipping ports in the world, Only one, and that's number 10 of the top 10, is not in Asia. What is it? Or where is it?
Can I make another guess on that one?
Yeah, go ahead.
What about like Halifax?
Halifax, Canada? No.
Yeah, okay. No.
And
South,
who came
South
next?
America.
Yeah, who came ahead, next historically after these monarchs? In other words, who is the monarch that followed these monarchs in history? Number one is William IV of England. That ended up being Queen Victoria. I'm still looking for Alfonso XIII of Spain, Alexander III of Russia, Napoleon Bonaparte, the first Napoleon Bonaparte, and Dom Pedro of Brazil.
Is Napoleon followed by Maximilian?
It's no. Not. No, two okay. different countries and different royal
houses. That's what I thought. Yeah.
And let's see. Lori, I think it's your turn.
Okay. Well, my follow-up to my presidential pardon question, I'm going to give you the names of seven very famous people. And I want to know who pardoned them or gave them clemency. The first one is Susan B. Anthony. Number two is Peter Yarrow, who just passed away this week, of Peter, Paul, and Mary. Mm. Number three is Patty Hearst. Number four is Eugene V. Debs. Number five, this surprised me, was Willie McCovey, the baseball player. Number six, Jimmy Hoffa. And number seven, Marcus Garvey. So in each case, the person was granted clemency or pardon. Susan B. Anthony, Peter Yarrow, Patty Hearst, Eugene V. Debs, Willie McCovey, Jimmy Hoffa, and Marcus Garvey. And for some of them, I know what their crime was, if you want to ask, but I'm looking for the president who granted them pardons or clemency.
Was it Jimmy Carter who pardoned Patty Hearst?
It was not. Oh, you know, I'm sorry. Technically, he commuted her sentence.
Commuted, sorry.
Yeah, and then Bill Clinton gave her the full pardon.
Okay.
Let's have a bell for that one. We'll take Patty Hearst off the board. Very good.
Kira, do you know? I think I have one other, but
No, I guess I must be mixing up my Peter and my Paul, because I can't. I hope I am, because.
You mean
you and Jesus.
Peter, Paul, and Mary?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Paul, I don't think was ever convicted of anything, maybe, but Peter was convicted of child molestation.
Yeah. Okay. No, then I wasn't mixing them up. All right. Well, I mean, that actually happened fairly recently. So, was that Biden?
It was not Biden.
Okay.
The one I know is Eugene Debs.
Yes.
He I don't think he was pardoned. He had his sentence commuted by.
I'm mixing them together. Yes.
By Warren Harding, President
Correct.
Harding.
Debs had been convicted of sedition.
Yeah, he was actually committed. In jail when he ran.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
But it was Harding who pardoned him or commuted right. his sentence. Very good.
Right. Okay.
And it looks like Joanne asked the same thing. She gets Yarrow pardoned by Jimmy Carter, and that is correct. It was in.
Is it? Oh, okay. I didn't know it was that.
I thought that was that recent long ago. Pardoning. Okay.
Yeah. Huh. So we're still looking for Susan B. Anthony, Willie McCovey, who had been convicted of tax evasion, by the way, Jimmy Hoffa, and Marcus Garvey. So we'll leave those out there.
So one more Susan guess. B. Anthony was it for the act of trying to vote that she was
it
convicted?
It was. It was.
I see. Okay. Huh. I think that was much later, wasn't it? I suspect.
Her pardon was much later.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay. Leave that out.
I think you could say it was posthumous officially. I'll give that hint out.
All right.
Okay.
I assume Hoffa's was as well.
Yeah.
Well, he's still alive, but he's been part, right? Isn't one of the conspiracy theories that he's like 130 years old but still alive? Hanging out with Kennedy. But anyway, it was posthumous.
He's well preserved in some cement.
I'll guess Obama for Hoffa.
No, not Obama.
Okay.
That sounds more like a Trump thing to me.
Not sure.
You never know.
Yeah.
He's all right.
A union leader, so I can't imagine it's, I don't know, maybe. Sure.
There's some surprises, I will say that, in the answers.
All right. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, this is Fred in West Virginia. Well, in Naples, Florida, vacationing. But I heard an interview with an author of a book called "There She Was, the Secret
I didn't
History
hear that.
Of Miss America."
Oh, right.
It was the secret history of Miss America. So I know you're all excited about the new winner last week. Who won the Miss America contest last week?
My husband will be very upset that he missed it, but...
Well, he should know. Doesn't he follow it?
They don't have it. Do they have it on TV anymore?
YouTube.
Oh, YouTube. Oh, all right. No, I don't know who won. I do not know.
I'm going to guess Miss West Virginia.
Abby Stockton from Alabama.
Alabama.
So look at it. Just a few Miss America questions. The first deaf Miss America.
Oh, all right.
Do you know who that is in the year?
It was like 1986?
No, a little later.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear the second part of your question. What did you ask?
The first deaf Miss America.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about. Well, I mean, I remember. I mean, I remember because my husband watched every year, so I still seem to recall that.
Another bell, please. Lee Whitestone, 1994. Who was the first Jewish Miss America?
Kathy Lee Gifford. Not Kathy Lee?
Bess Myers.
No.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Bess Myerson. What year was that?
Oh, that was in
about 58?
Mid-50s someplace, yeah.
1945.
Oh,
whoa.
And her talent was piano and flute. She played Gershwin. Oh, who is the only Miss America who went on to become a Fox News anchor?
Was it Gretchen Carlson?
Yeah.
What year was that?
It's about, 20 years ago, maybe?
Pretty close.
Sounds right. That was 2002.
Lord. 1989.
Oh, no.
What did she accomplish when she was the president or CEO of Miss America? What rules did she change?
Did she eliminate the bathing suit competition?
Exactly.
And all right. We need Greg on this one.
Black Miss America? First Black Miss America?
Well, that was the...
Vanessa Williams.
Yeah.
Right. What year?
Ooh.
Oh. 1990.
30 years ago, at least. Yeah.
1990 is my guess.
Yeah.
1984.
Oh, goodness. That's a long time.
What song did she sing for her talent?
Yeah. No idea.
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
Okay. Yeah.
Happy days are here again. One more.
Good choice.
The first Miss America to become a national sportscaster.
Sportscaster.
Was that Hannah Storm?
No, I don't think she was Miss America, but she may have been. Okay. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm trying to.
This week, yeah. It would have been before Hannah Storm.
Well, cool. I don't. You know, I know Lee Merriweather was Miss America, but I don't think she was a sportscaster.
Yeah. She. Let's see. She married the governor of Kentucky.
Oh, then it's the John Y. John Y. Brown, the one who married Governor Brown of Kentucky. What's her name? Marianne Mobley.
No.
Oh.
You seem sure. That sounded right to me. What did she?
Phyllis George.
Oh, Phyllis. Oh, all right. 19, sorry. Yeah, you're right.
One more quick one, Lori. Who has anybody ever turned down a presidential pardon?
Yes. Oh. I almost know it. It'll take me a second to think, because I know that Liz Cheney's thinking of doing it, turning it down if it's offered, and it was in that context. Give us a hint.
No, this is 1829.
Oh, you know who it was? It was, I think Susan B. Anthony's people turned it down after it was offered to her posthumously. Is that it?
Well, how could you turn it down posthumously? I don't know.
Because she had her estate turn it down and her lawyer turn it down.
Oh, this was 1829, Andrew Jackson pardoned somebody who was on death row for robbing a bank. He turned it down. He wanted to die so he could go to heaven.
Ooh, good choice.
There you go. There you go. Trying to cheer things up a little. Okay.
Right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Have a good time in Florida, Fred.
All right. Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We do have several minutes left in the show. We'd love to hear from you. Feel free to give us a call, 415-841-4134. Again, that's or toll-free, 866-798-8255. Let's see. Can I give you a question here shortly? Okay. What does the... this is a little convoluted. What is the country... I'm looking for the country that has the most people immigrating from it and where English is an official language. In other words, what country where English is an official language has the most people immigrating from it?
So immigrants, technically.
Immigrants,
right?
Yes.
Yeah. But English where English is the national language, or just the most people speak it who are emigrating?
No, English is an official language.
How about South Africa?
Yes. No, not South Africa.
And are they emigrating to the United States?
They're emigrating just all over the place.
All over. Yeah. All right.
So what country where English is an official language has the most people immigrating from it? Or immigrating from it?
Great question.
All right, leave it out.
Yeah.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yes. This is Zah from San Francisco, and Hi. The successor to Alexander III was Nicholas II, who
that
was
is
shot
correct.
And his family by the Bolsheviks. I have one more.
Yes.
Napoleon Bonaparte actually had two successors. First of all, when after Waterloo, he was succeeded by Louis XVIII. And then when he came back for the 100 days, he was succeeded by his infant son, I think called the Prince of Rome, maybe Napoleon II. And he reigned for a very short time.
Right. I was looking, generally speaking, for Louis XVIII. So, but correct, and all correct. Yes, very good.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. So, yes, Alexander III of Russia was succeeded by his son, the last Tsar, Nicholas II. And Napoleon Bonaparte was succeeded by Louis XVIII, who was the younger brother of Louis XVI, whose head had been chopped off earlier. And let's see, next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Southern California.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, everybody. Is the busiest port not in Asia, is that Rotterdam?
It is Rotterdam.
Oh, yeah. And Alfonso the 13th of Spain, guess, was he followed by Juan Carlos?
Juan Carlos, many years later. The Franco came in between, but Juan Carlos was the next royal head of Spain. Yes, very good. Anything else? Are you there? Is that it?
Hello.
Hello.
So I'm back.
That's it. Yay!
There you go.
Wow. Yeah. It
hung are you in a smoky part of Southern California or a non-smoky part?
No, I'm close to it, but I'm close to it, but okay. Not the winds blowing opposite, so we're not getting any smoke.
Okay.
All right.
Stay safe.
Stay safe. Yeah.
But dangerous. Yeah. Yeah. And up there as well, so we'll see. Country with the most immigration with English, is that India?
It is not India. English is, I don't think English is an official language. Is it an official language, India? I don't think so, but.
No. Yeah, I wasn't sure. I figured I'd take a guess. Okay, the serial child murderer movie, is that's M, I think, right?
It is M, language? From 1931. You are correct.
Okay, and whoa. And then I got, so in that same vein, I love the Bleak movie. So I'll give you a couple of hints. There's the UK film which is the UK's day after.
That's Threads.
Threads, right, directed by Mick Jackson, who also did L.A. Story. So there you go. And then...
L.A. Story, that's... Is there one that's not Steve Martin's L.A. Story?
No, that is the same one.
That's same not director. Bleak at all.
The Steve Martin one, and he also directed The Bodyguard. Interesting. And then there's a Japanese movie about five kids who were abandoned by their mother. It was directed by a recent Palme d'Or winner. This movie didn't win it, but the Palme d'Or winner was also not quite as bleak, but still fairly bleak.
It's something about fireflies, right?
Grave of the Fireflies, but that's not it. Oh. But yeah, that is an incredibly bleak movie. This is a live action.
Oh.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The Palme d'Or winner was Shoplifters, which is an excellent movie. And Nobody Knows is the movie about, and it's directed by Hirokazu Koreeda, who I recommend anybody look for. It's a very, very gentle movie, but also extremely bleak, which sounds a little inconceivable, but there you go. Thanks very much. Great show as always.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Okay, some emails here. Tristan is wondering if the most immigrants from an English-speaking country, Ireland and New Zealand, no. The Bill is wondering if also if it's Ireland. Let's see. George had Nicholas II after Alexander III. Let's see. Suzanne was wondering if the port was Los Angeles, Long Beach. No, it ended up being Rotterdam. And Michael got Rotterdam. Eric got Alexander III, or Nicholas II, I should say. And George got M, the movie.
Nice job, George.
All right. And, okay, sorry.
For the English-speaking country, what about Nigeria?
Not Nigeria, although that's quite a logical guess. But no, not Nigeria. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi. The last caller took some of my guesses, but I know the movie about the dogs is Plague Dogs.
That is correct. I believe it's by the same author that brought us Watership Down. So,
what's the name again?
Plague Dogs. Yes. So these are the animated movies that they showed Gen X. These are the animated movies that my generation saw.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Bleak. Excellent, but bleak.
Yes. Nice job. Thank you for getting that.
And then I have a couple of guesses for the island, for the country with the most islands. It's not Japan, is it?
Japan is number 4 on the list with 120,729 islands, 430 of which are populated. And if you want to give us the largest island, you're certainly welcome to.
I don't really even have a guess for that.
It's Honshu. So.
Okay. And then for the country with the most English-speaking immigrants, England?
No. I should say it's a country where English is an official language, but I can't say that everybody who is immigrating from it speaks English. But no, it's not what you guessed. No.
Okay. That's the last of my guesses.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate your call very much.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We have a few minutes left in the show. We'll try to clear up everything for you. But let's see. Let's go to another call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Richard in Oakland.
Hi, Richard.
And I have a couple of corrections. English is definitely an official language in India.
All right, thank you.
And that makes it the largest country with an official language of English with immigrants around the world. What is your answer?
My answer My answer is the Philippines.
No, they have far fewer than India, which is about 15 million.
All right. Well, thank you for that correction, then.
And also one more correction to Kira. Sumatra is the largest island in Indonesia.
Okay.
New Guinea is split by two different countries, one of which is Indonesia, and the Indonesian portion has a smaller area than Sumatra.
Right. But the island itself is larger.
But it's not in Indonesia. It's not totally in Indonesia.
I didn't say it was totally Indonesia, only that it was the largest island. But it's true. Fully owned by Indonesia, Sumatra, sure. So
wasn't there something wrong with one of Lori's questions too?
This is my brother calling in. He doesn't criticize me. Thank you. I love this.
Lori is always perfect.
Thank you. Excellent. My favorite all-time call. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Putting it as my answering machine.
Anything else?
That's it for me.
Great job.
Thank you so much. We appreciate your call.
Is that actually your brother?
No.
Okay.
One of my brothers does listen, but he never calls.
Okay.
And he wouldn't call for that reason.
You've got
family that listens, brag.
You have an audience. How about that? Giving the answers. Come on.
It's right there. All right. One more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning. It's Bill in El Cerrito.
Hi, Bill.
First of all, I want to second the motion for people to donate to whatever organization they can that is supporting people in L.A. Their fate is our fate, so it goes both ways. Let's see, quick guesses. Kira, Ford Islands. How about Russia?
Not Russia. That's an excellent guess, considering how much land they have, but not Russia.
In that case, how about Norway?
Norway is number two on the list, 239,057, roughly 60 of which are populated.
Just 60, wow.
Yep.
Yeah, they're tiny. And then, Lori, for the people who pardoned other people, regarding Jimmy Hoffa, was it one of the Bushes?
It was not one of the Bushes.
Okay.
But it was a Republican.
Was it Nixon then?
It was Nixon. Very good.
Yeah, that was Melissa's guess. Okay.
Yeah, Bill Melissa.
Yeah.
Give her a bell.
Yeah. Let's see. Dana, I'll leave this up to you. Is there time for a question or should we skip it?
Very quick question.
No, it's not quick. Sorry.
All right. Next week then.
Next week or sometime. Okay. Great. All Thanks, right. guys.
Happy Thank you very year. Much. Appreciate your call. Okay. Time to clean up here then. Kira, start with you.
All right. The eight countries with the most islands, the ones we had left were Finland at number three and Chile at number six. The bleak movies, the only one we had left was a factory worker who suffers from a degenerative eye condition is saving up for an operation to prevent her young son from suffering the same fate. That was 2000's Dancer in the Dark. That's
all I have. Is that the one with Bjork?
Bjork. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And Lori.
Presidential pardon. Susan B. Anthony was pardoned by Donald Trump after his first administration, and her estate, or whatever they did, refused it. Willie McCovey, who had been convicted of tax evasion, was pardoned by President Obama. Marcus Garvey, who had been convicted of mail fraud, was pardoned by Calvin Coolidge. And I believe that's all I have.
All right. Let's see. I think all I have left is the on the monarchy question. Dom Pedro of Brazil was followed by Dom Pedro II. So that was easy. Anyway, if we didn't get to your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We do hope you enjoyed the show. We certainly enjoy hearing from you. Our panel today was Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, teacher at Apple Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Joanne Meyer for handing the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. We hope you have a great week, and we do hope you'll join us next Saturday morning at 10. Thanks, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.